lot of news headlines up now, a whole batch went up. Interesting to try to track and keep up to speed with what's happening in Ukraine. There's just a lot going on there right now. It's a very complex story that's getting worse, not better, for sure. A lot of interesting videos. Some of our contributors send those in as well, and we put them up. It's quite a scene over there. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight to bring us up to date in his circles of information. He's got great sources over there as well. Hi, Mitch. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Jeff. How you doing?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So what I'm going to talk about first is the Ukraine war escalation, because we, in the past week, we saw a major escalation. Okay.
Right.
So on May 2nd, Ukrainian intelligence, at the direction of and with technical assistance of the CIA, made an attempt to assassinate President Putin of Russia during a drone attack on the Kremlin. Okay, no matter what we believe, no matter what we think, this is the narrative, the truth that the Russians know. Okay,
right, quick,
they're
quick
taking
aside
this as absolute truth. Yes.
Yes, quick aside before we get further into it, just to do the obvious for our listeners who would probably be asking the same sort of thing. What the Russians did in response so far is beyond restrained. It's incredible to me. If two drones had been sent at the White House to kill the creeper in his sleep, and maybe the camel as well, what would America's response be? Outrage beyond measure. There's a lot of outrage in Russia, though, make no mistake about that. But the Russians have been incredibly reserved. So I just want to make that point. If that happened to us, and drones were sent to the White House here, and they exploded, allegedly because the Russians were able to take them out before they actually hit the target, which is a residence in the Kremlin that Putin was usually, he wasn't in, but he usually was there and would be sleeping. This was 3 a.m, I think. So go ahead with your story. This is all very interesting to see what is and what isn't happening.
Yeah. Okay, so the Ukrainians denied responsibility, saying it was Russian oligarchs that did it because they were blaming Putin for impoverishing them through sanctions. Okay, people, the Russian oligarchs have gotten richer under sanctions, not poorer. $9 billion has gone into the rich people's pockets in Russia over this war. It is not hurting them. It is good for the oligarchs, okay? They're loving it. All right? Why would they do it? Zelensky was in Finland the day of the attack, and the next morning he refused to go home because he knew that he was now a target of Russia. I mean, he knew he was going to extend his trip in Finland. Then he left Finland and went to the Netherlands. He didn't go home because he knew before this attack happened that he would now be a target of the Russians. He knew that. And that's why he extended his stay outside of Ukraine. Okay? Because he's a target now, and he knows it. He knew it before Russia told him he was a target. He knew it. Okay? So Russia has made clear that they know that this was a direct American attack on Putin personally. Okay. The U.S. ambassador to Russia, McFaul, stated that the attack was not an assassination attempt. How could he possibly know the motive if he did not know the attacker? The U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, denied that Ukraine or the U.S. had anything to do with it. Just like they deny everything all the time when every idiot on earth knows that they did it. Okay. Karine Jean-Pierre said, the U.S. is not encouraging or enabling Ukraine to strike beyond its borders. We are doing exactly what they say they aren't doing. We are doing exactly what Karine Jean-Pierre said we are not doing.
Correct.
If we did not know, why did the U.S. Embassy in Kiev get ready for a missile strike on the embassy? We were getting ready for a missile strike on the embassy while this attack was going on. Why would we do that? We've never done it any other day, but this day we decided to do it the day after they hit the embassy, the Kremlin. Okay, so I mean, we are so pathetic at lying about anything or keeping anything secret. We're terrible at it. Russia has advanced capabilities to intercept communications. They stated officially that the U.S., CIA, and Defense Department help every step of the way with targeting and picking the flight path. And actually, to do that, they would need CIA assistance for that flight path. Also, when Russia hit the NATO command and control bunker outside of Kiev in the last week of April with a Kinzhal missile, it killed 300 officers. Not a single person was a Ukrainian officer. They were all NATO nation officers directing Ukraine's army. We do not make a fuss because we don't want to admit we have American troops on the ground and engaged in combat in Ukraine. They will get no credit for fighting in Ukraine, nor being killed in action. Their family members will be told they died in an accident or something. Okay. And they will not get veterans benefits. Okay. So Russia did that attack because the attack on Buzyansk, Russia, to murder innocent civilians was planned in that bunker. Russia can monitor such things. The orders came from NATO officers, not a single Ukrainian officer, NATO officers in the bunker to kill innocent Russian civilians in a terrorist attack, basically. Russia did that attack because the attack on Buzyansk, okay? Or rather, it was juvenile response to kill Putin. Okay. Uh-huh. In response, Dmitry Medvedev said, quote, "After today's terrorist attack, there are no options left but the physical removal of Zelensky and his clique. His regime must be completely dismantled, and former Ukraine must be entirely demilitarized." Okay. That's a new goal. That is a major escalation. Western media floated the wild conspiracy that this was a Russian false flag operation. This includes U.S. News, BBC from England, Sky News Australia, and Deutsche Welle, the German news. Okay, so the Turkish news said this. Turkey is actually neutral in this war. Okay, they say, quote, "The Kremlin attack was a Ukrainian effort to draw NATO into the war, and it was not done by Ukraine alone. The U.S. had to help with intelligence and navigation to the target. The U.S. blew up Nord Stream and denies it. Now they're trying to deny they had anything to do with the attempted assassination of Putin." That's Turkey. That's a NATO ally. And they're blaming the United States for attempting to kill Putin. They would only do that, if it was absolutely true. Okay? They would not do that. It'd be bad foreign policy to say that if it wasn't true. So, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov remarked, and I'm quoting, "These attempts to disown this, both by Kiev and Washington, are of course absolutely ridiculous. We know very well that decisions about such terrorist actions are made not in Kiev, but in Washington, and Kiev does what it is told to do. We know that often even the goals themselves are not determined by Kiev, but they are determined in Washington and then taken to Kiev so that Kiev implements them. Not every time Kiev is given the right to choose the means of implementing them. This is also dictated from across the ocean. We know this well and are aware of this. To divide them by two or not, it does not matter to us. But in Washington, they must understand that we know this, that they are behind the attack." Okay, this is a major thing because this is they're saying we did it. Okay,
that's right.
Indian News did a segment on why it was not a Russian false flag. Their first reason was, why would the Kremlin show the world that the security of the heavily guarded fortress can be easily breached, that the Kremlin is not so safe? After all, Putin would never allow such messaging. Two, why does Russia even need a false flag attack? It is already at war with Ukraine. It is already taking what it wants. Does it really need to justify any escalations on the ground? Indian News is making some good points there. Okay. So who does need to establish
some very good journalism over there? I've seen some excellent work from time to time, India.
Oh, me too. Sometimes they're kind of just every day, you know, following the program. But they have some good, they ask some good questions, and they do some good reporting sometimes. So, and there's like three sources from India that I look at fairly regular. So they're good. They're good because they're neutral, I think.
Right. Agreed.
Okay, so who does need to establish a narrative of Russia doing false flag operations? The U.S. does. Let me tell you the crazy war plan that the pedophile Biden regime has. They expect a strong Russian offensive. They want to have a forever Ukraine, forever destabilizing Russia. So they fear a Russian success. As Russian troops sweep across eastern and southern Ukraine, NATO will be desperate. To justify sending NATO troops into western Ukraine, NATO will make a tactical nuclear explosion in eastern Ukraine to blame on the Russians. You can see their juvenile efforts. For a year, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime has been saying that Russia will use a nuke in Ukraine. Russia has consistently said that they will nuke Great Britain and the U.S. Russia is not going to lose to the hollowed-out Ukrainian army, and they will only use nukes as if it's an existential threat. So we must set it off for them. 2 weeks ago, the U.S. said that we were putting nuclear monitoring devices so they could tell if Russia uses a tactical nuke. Translation, so they can produce the evidence that the Russians did it. Okay, you don't need monitors to tell if a tactical nuke goes off. If one goes off, everybody in the world's going to know it. Okay, so that's lame. At the beginning of the year, the U.S. admitted that we had, quote, sensitive nuclear technology in Ukraine. There is only one sensitive nuclear technology, a nuclear weapon. The rest is civilian use. We have even signaled that we already have a nuclear bomb in Ukraine ready to come. Sources saying that the U.S. was behind the attempted assassination of Putin are numerous and have come from whistleblowers in the CIA. Additional CIA sources have said that we have had a nuclear weapon in Ukraine and intend to set it off. Okay. So our scenario, Russia will start its offensive and it'll start to capture lots of Ukrainian territory. When the Russians look like they're doing great, inexplicably, they will set off a nuclear device. NATO will then send NATO troops into western Ukraine to allegedly prevent Russian troops from taking all of Ukraine. NATO will attack and destroy the Black Sea Fleet. NATO will declare a no-fly zone over western Ukraine. This is the West's victory play, and they are sure that Russia will not launch a full nuclear attack. This, people, is delusional. It is daring Russia not to use any further nukes. That is not how nuclear war works. The way it works is you will die if you use it piecemeal. The strategy of nuclear war is that you must use them first. You must have a massive and total response. Nuclear war is total war. There must be violence of action and massive response. The Russian goal will be to destroy NATO's military on the first shot and leave NATO's economies a wreck and a mess, more so than what our government is doing to us now, I should say. Basically, the Russians won't know about the explosion until it happens. At that very moment, they need to launch a total war response if they want to win. Okay, so just to clarify, if the United States sets off a nuke in Ukraine as a false flag, Russia will immediately launch on us. There will be no hesitation. The minute that bomb goes off, they're pushing the button, and we're dead. Okay? So, in 1962, John F. Kennedy said, and I quote, "Never again force Russia to choose between national humiliation and nuclear war. We have been told not to do it, but we will." On the same day, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said Ukraine will become a NATO nation, saying that Russia's dream of a neutral Ukraine will not happen as long as Ukraine exists. This just killed any hope of a negotiated settlement of the war. NATO has given Russia no choice but to completely destroy Ukraine. Zelensky piled on by saying that American girls and boys need to go to the front and die just like Ukrainian girls and boys. They will fight and they will die. He's ordering us to do this, okay? He is admitting that Ukraine has no hopes of winning. Ukraine has had over 400,000 soldiers killed in action, the same as the USA in all areas of World War II combined, and over 5 years. There are over 10 million Ukrainians that fled Ukraine to never return. 2 million Ukrainians fled to Russia with no desire to return. The pedophile Biden regime has genocided the Ukrainian nation. Listen to what Zelensky said about this just the other day, and this is on CNN, people. Zelensky said, quote, "We will fix our demographic issues with mass immigration. Ukraine will become a new, diverse, and multicultural nation that will be the model state for the rest of Europe." Hello, is that not the Zionists' goal? Isn't that what they want? It is. And Zelensky's leading it up, and he's not even lying about it. They're destroying the Ukrainian nation. NATO, however, is not necessarily on board with us. Russia has said that everything has changed. They will kill Zelensky and other Ukrainian officials. They cannot allow this woke sodomite state on their border. The U.S. and Zelensky have murdered 3 Russian journalists on Russian soil, Dugina, Tatarsky, and now Prilepin. Ukraine has said that it will murder Russians anywhere they can find them. Russia is now fully escalated in Ukraine. The kid gloves are off. German Prime Minister Olaf Scholz said the day after the Kremlin attack, "It's important for us that weapons that we supply for Ukraine to defend itself aren't used in attacks on Russian territory." I guess Germany doesn't want to get nuked off of the face of the earth. But I think it's too late for them. Why does he say this now? Because of the seriousness of Russia's response. Germany knows that Russia is not bluffing. It is too late, though, that the Russians are prepared to flatten Germany. Russia now says that we are more and more involved in the actual fighting, and now it is down to the U.S. troops fighting down to the lowest levels at present. Russia recognizes the United States as a de facto belligerent at this point, okay? So let me add a couple things because I got some more information today. But one is the likely place where this attack is going to go off is at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. We're going to set a nuke off probably across the river or something. Ukraine does want to blow up. Yes.
From what I've heard, the Zaporizhzhia plant, they've shut down or are in the process of shutting down all 6 reactors to try to prevent an even worse catastrophe if one of these Uke rockets busts through the concrete domes. So they're shutting the reactors down. That's what I hear.
Well, yes, they're shutting it down, but you know the desired effect
the fuel rods are all there. Fuel rods are all there in pools. No, this is it. That's not.
Yeah,
the
they
answer.
Want a radioactive dust cloud to go downrange in Russia and stuff.
Covered Donbass and kill as many as possible. That's what they want. We got to remember that Zelensky and his government are killers. Don't forget it.
Okay, so they know that it's there. It's going to be there. The Russians know that the U.S. is going to set off a nuke in Zaporizhzhia too. They know it. They have moved everybody out, evacuated all the civilian population from that area downwind. This is also the area they expect the Ukrainians to attack on. And, well, they're animals. They just murder civilians. So they want to move the civilians out to keep them from the retribution by the Ukrainian army. So, and the other part of their plan, this flooding the western Ukraine and setting up a no-fly zone, guess what? They've already set a no-fly zone up around Odessa. And the part of Ukraine that is that peninsula sticking out to the bottom along the Romanian border, right, they have a no-fly zone there. So the big square no-fly zone along the whole Black Sea going from Bulgaria up to Odessa. Okay. So this has not been debated. This has just been put there without any debate or approval. Okay. So they're serious about this. Listen, the NATO knows Ukraine cannot win. They know that Ukraine is a lost cause. They know it. So what they're doing now is they can go two ways. They can just say, okay, well, it's over and just move on and focus on China, or they can go ahead and poke the bear and kill us all. Okay. That's sort of the only two options. So Ukraine's war moves. Ukraine knows that it is losing badly. While violently and aggressively spouting propaganda saying they are the mother of all armies, fighting the mother of all counteroffensives, they have not been fighting so violently or aggressively. Zelensky is just an updated Baghdad Bob. All he has is optics. Remember that he knows that he is running a con game to enrich himself and his clique of kleptocrats. He is not actually running a war. In the far west, Ukraine has been massing several divisions on the border with Moldova and Transdniestria. Their objective is to invade a neighboring nation to capture the huge ammo dump at the Kalbasna base. Ukraine wants to invade and seize these munitions for themselves. Now keep in mind, this is Ukraine invading another sovereign nation without UN approval. Okay. Ukraine wants to seize these information for this ammunition for themselves is a foolish goal. Russia would not allow them to seize this ammunition. They would blow it up first. It has a secondary goal of trying to keep Russian forces from invading from the west. This is also absurd. The Russians have an equivalent of two combat battalions in Transdniestria. This is enough for peacekeeping, but it's not enough for a good defense against an invading army. Russia has no intention of attacking from Transdniestria. The mission of the troops there is to protect the ammo dump and keep the peace in Transdniestria. They are not structured to do more. Today, though, because of all the Ukrainian troops massing there, the Transdniestria has asked Russia to send a bunch more troops because they see the massing at the border. So the Ukrainians are massing the troops near Kherson and are attacking Russian lines to interrupt an attack from the east of the Dnieper River. They are inconveniencing a Russian offensive there, but they're not really interrupting it because everything's just right on the front edge, right? So the main Ukrainian counteroffensive was supposed to be an attack south from Zaporizhia to the Black Sea in order to cut Crimea off from Russia proper. For a year, NATO has been training and equipping 9 Ukrainian brigades for the counteroffensive. These counteroffensive brigades have insufficient field artillery and insignificant air support capabilities. In the past week, Russians have managed to take out all 9 brigade headquarters, killing off their brigade command and staff leadership. The counteroffensive will be a suicide mission that the Russians want them to try. World military analysts agree that it will be a turkey shoot, and the Ukrainian troops will be massacred for nothing. Ukraine knows it's losing and fully intends to blow up the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in order to poison the Donbass and make it unlivable for centuries. This might be where we are going to set off the tactical nuclear weapon to assist Ukraine with their genocidal goal. You see, Russia has evacuated civilians on the Zaporizhia front so that they won't be hurt in the upcoming offensive. Also, the same area is likely to be downwind direction from the radioactive fallout from the plant's destruction. The Russians are attempting to save people from the nuclear attack they are sure that America will do out of desperation. Keep this in mind, people, that Russians own the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. Why would they blow it up? They would not. Okay.
Never.
On the Eastern Front, Ukraine is still trying to hold on to Bakhmut. The Wagner Group feigned difficulty and loss of steam in order to reshape the battlefield. You see, Ukraine decided to attack from the north to try and retake Bakhmut. Russia knew this, so they created a ruse, making it look like the Wagner guys were going to quit so the Ukrainians would task their intelligence collection efforts to dwell on that situation. This gave Russia the cover they needed to mass troops north of Bakhmut to meet the Ukrainian counteroffensive in that area. Most Ukrainian troops are on the Eastern Front. Most of their units are there. So, you know. So Russia's war moves. Okay. Now check this out, because they're a little bit more logical. Okay. So Russia is preparing for its offensive by bombing over the past 2 weeks of, one, the electrical, water, and fuel infrastructure, two, transportation hubs and storage facilities, three, ammunition and fuel oil dumps, four, Ukrainian command and control bunkers, five, clusters of Ukrainian ammunition, armored fighting vehicles, and troop concentrations. In other words, if they get a lot of troops together in one place, Russia's going to bomb them. Last week, they blew up a dump with 200 tons of ammunition. That's 200,000 pounds of ammunition, people, that was supplying Bakhmut. Any NATO troops and all new NATO equipment that is set up, they are going to bomb it as fast as they can. They want to kill the NATO troops manning them, because we can write off some of the deaths as accidents or even illnesses, but sooner or later, as the bodies stack up, Americans will know that they are being killed in action. Seven, air defense systems. Eight, attack the nine counteroffensive brigades to weaken them before they come online. Like, if they tried to even get together in a battalion formation or something, the Russians just bomb them. So it's hard for them to do anything near the front. So anyways, this is where they are now.
The Wagner mention of we're not getting enough ammunition and all that was a clever ruse.
Yes, that was a ruse.
95% of Bakhmut, Artemio Mosk, is now in Russian control. 95%.
Right.
They say the part that isn't doesn't matter, and they really don't care about it, so they're not going to waste any more men in there. Let them have it, at least for the time being.
So it's like the thing is in the West, we would say RT, Russia Today News, is just all Russian propaganda. But they used RT to put out the thing that Prigozhin was fighting with Putin over ammunition. Okay. So why did they put it on RT? Because they knew that the Ukrainians would believe it, the Americans would believe it. Mm-hmm. Because even though we call it propaganda, the people in the know that it's the truth. It's not propaganda. Okay, so they took advantage of that very hypocritical attitude we have towards their news. We say we don't believe anything they say, but then they use it to convince us of what they say. And it worked. It worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to put everybody where they want them. See, we keep pushing and pushing and pushing. You have to understand these people. These people, they think that if they imagine it, and it is their narrative and their point of view, it's magical thinking. It's like, oh, it's going to happen because I say that it's true. It's going to happen. It's sort of like back. It comes actually is active a part of the old visualize thing meme that they had. We'll visualize world peace. Visualize this, and it'll happen. This is the way they think. They think that the world is the way it is, because they want to think it's that way, okay? And it has no reflection in reality at all. These people are out of touch with any kind of reality. Okay, I mean, it's like, well, just to go over some American values. Okay, so Janet Yellen, a couple weeks ago, she said, and I'm quoting, "The best thing you can do for the economy is have an abortion." Secretary of the Treasury of the United States.
What a classy woman. Jeez.
Wow. You know? I mean, just think about that. It's like the best thing you can do for the economy is have an abortion. Excuse me, but why have an economy if you're not going to have any kids?
She's the point? She's a dumb communist at that.
Oh, yeah. She's extremely stupid. Joe Biden, who's not just a pedophile, but an incestuous pedophile, okay, the fact that he's screwing his daughter in the shower when she's a little girl is a fact, American people. That's a fact. That's not a rumor. Everybody has said it's fact. Amy's diary is real, and she stands by it, okay? Okay, and this is what Pedophile Joe said last week. He said, and I quote, "No such thing as someone else's child. Children belong to everyone in the nation."
Oh, he's insane. He's completely insane.
That is insane. Yeah. It is insane, and it's untrue. This comes from Hillary Clinton 30 years ago saying it takes a village to raise a child. Well, no, it doesn't. It takes some good parents to raise a child. A village will never do it. A village is our children, youth, and children and youth departments of the Department of Health and stuff, the foster family thing and all that. These people have destroyed more children's lives than will ever be able to be imaginable. Okay. I don't know anybody who went through that system that was not totally traumatized by it. Okay. And these are by allegedly normal people doing this to them, mm-hmm. self-righteously and stuff.
That's right. That's
so I would never want this nation to raise my children, to be LGBT kids and haters and, you know, what kind of mess?
The war on children and childhood is in high gear now and gaining momentum. The communist infiltration of our schools, especially our elementary schools now, is beginning to pay dividends for the Bolsheviks. They know what they're doing, and they're getting away with stuff that would be unimaginable 20, 30 years ago. Unimaginable, and they're getting away with it. And I don't know how stop it. I don't have an answer except pull your kids out instantly. No more school.
If you love your kids, get them out of public education. At least get them out of public education. I mean, do something. Homeschooling is better, but you got to get them out of there. It'll destroy them. You know.
I know.
It's they're not they're grooming them for bad things, not good things. You know, it's just look at what is our government doing that is supposed to be good and helpful to us? Is there anything that they're doing? Anything at all that they're doing? The government of the United States is the enemy of the American people. The government of the United States is the enemy of the Constitution of the United States. The government of the United States is the enemy of the Bill of Rights. The government of the United States is the enemy of God. Okay. I'm just stating a fact. I'm not trying to cast aspersions, but if people need to wake up and realize that the enemy is the people that we have allegedly elected. Actually, we have elected none of these people. They've elected themselves. Okay, it's a rigged game. I mean, after the 2020 and the 2022 elections, if you don't realize it's a rigged game, I have a bridge in New York City that I can sell you. I'll just sell it to you cheap, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, people. How can you believe this stuff? I mean, do you think the government of the United States wants to protect the American people? Well, no, they don't. They don't because that border, just not that far south of me here, is wide open. Wide open. Okay, that border is open. They're sending 1,500 troops to the border to help bring these people in, not to keep them out, to bring them in.
I want everyone to please pay attention to the top headline news story. Just put it up. It's on the site. It's called the Darien Gap, D-A-R-I-E-N, the Darien Gap, Panama. Invader Processing Center. Look at it. Watch it carefully. Share the story. Look at the buses. Look at this. It's a huge facility. This is where all the invaders are processed. Then they're put on those big white buses and driven all the way to the border or near the border so they can stage their entry. This is all being paid for by the U.S. and Soros and others like him. You've got to see the story. It's called the Darien Gap. It's right at the top story. Go look at it. You need to see how well orchestrated this is. Nothing random about it. Nothing.
You know, one of the things that when I was a kid, when they had stories about the devil or Satan, you know, just fiction and stuff, they always had him like you show your loyalty to the devil and stuff and you do everything he wants and then he screws you over in the end. Okay.
Yeah.
So look at this. Last year, the Biden administration had $130 million available to give to help homeless veterans.
Uh-huh.
They took no veteran got a penny of that money. Mm. All that money went in cash payments to illegal aliens at the border. Okay? So those who fought and died, risked their lives for this country, they get nothing. But somebody who's never done anything for this country and is breaking the law entering the country, they give them $10,000-$15,000 cash so they can get started in America. What about these veterans getting started again? At least getting a home or something, okay? It's like, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Veterans don't necessarily vote Democrat, okay? So they're not a group that they've been more conservative as a group. So the Democrats really don't like them, you know. And if they can screw them out of anything, I mean, I've seen the VA itself just go downhill. Everything. It's like, you know, always you could write a letter to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, okay, and he would respond to you. Right? Well, that's over. As soon as Biden became president, they ended you writing to any cabinet secretary. They don't take letters from citizens anymore. Okay?
Got it.
Soon, Congress people won't be taking letters from citizens anymore either. Okay?
No.
I mean, actually, after all, does a congressman need your vote to get reelected? Nope, they don't. All they have to do is be woke, and they'll be reelected, you know?
True. Look, everything's so rigged now, Mitch. I don't trust any elections anymore. I haven't for a long time.
So let me try to give a little vignette of just how stupid these people are. So, you know, they brought Dylan Mulvaney and put him on a beer can, Bud Light cans.
Yeah, yeah.
Bud Light has died. Their sales have gone in the toilet.
Oh,
they've
no,
even took Dylan Mulvaney off the can, and they still can't sell their beer.
And okay. Now who guess who now is boycotting Bud Light because they took him off? All the LGBTQ
people.
Bars.
As if they really drank that beer anyway.
That's right.
Not their style, but, you know.
Yeah.
So after this happened, keep this picture this. So this was a major story on the actual news. This was in the actual news, too. So it's like everybody in America knows that the training on the can thing was a bad idea. So not a week goes by, and the U.S. Navy decides to encourage its trannies to try to recruit people on TikTok by doing drag shows on TikTok for prospective recruits.
Cute.
This is the Navy. The Navy. They just saw this thing with the beer.
We're toast, man. We're done.
Why do we want this trannies in the Navy? You know, I mean, come on. It's
by the way, they are pathetic. that, by the way, the tranny movement is showing more and more signs of extreme violence and a propensity mm-hmm. toward violence. This is a big concern for me. I'm watching it very carefully.
Well, it is, because who do they owe? They owe the woke government. Okay, there is no, listen, it's not just a random happenstance that we have now major shootings almost every day, maybe two times in a day. We have major mass shootings and stuff. Why is that happening? What kind of people are doing the mass shootings? Okay, we had a illegal alien in Cleveland, Texas, killed five other illegal aliens. Okay, yeah. Not once in the news do they bring up the fact that it is illegal for an illegal alien to possess a firearm. It's the same crime as a felon having a firearm. Okay, a legal alien cannot have a firearm. Okay, that cops were called out to his house many times over firearms. They know he's an illegal alien. They know what the law is, and nobody arrested him because, well, he's an underprivileged person, so we don't prosecute underprivileged persons. The guy in the guy that shot up the mall. Same thing. He was a Hispanic guy. The guy that ran over the seven immigrants down in Brownsville, he was a Hispanic person.
Oh, I didn't see the ID on him. It was a Hispanic running over other.
Yeah,
invaders.
Hispanic running over invaders. He may have been an American citizen Hispanic, though. I'm not sure. Anyways, he used a car, not a gun. So. So we see, and we don't know what's going to come out of it. He could have just been drunk, and it could be an accident. We don't know. But the guy in the mall, who of course is dead, he's a white supremacist. If you look at his picture, he doesn't look like a white supremacist. But Joe Biden says he's a white supremacist.
Oh God.
So we're going to have, before long, you'll see black white supremacists doing hideous crimes. Okay, that's going to be the new thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can be a different color and be a white supremacist. You know, I mean, anything's possible with these people. They tell, the more ridiculous the lie, I think the more they enjoy to tell it, the more ridiculous it is, you know. It's messed up. Anyway, so what's going on over there in Ukraine is Russia's it's picking its targets. It's kind of taking its time trying to get prepared for launching their offensive. I think the offensive is going to be pretty destructive because they have such a large army going in there to do it. And they have air support. They have air defense. They have massive artillery and stuff. So when you make an offensive, okay, there's several things that you have to do. One of the things is you have to have enough troops to make the attack. Generally, you want a ratio of 10 troops to one troop that's defending. Right now, I'll tell you, Ukraine does not have that, and it will not have that anytime in the future until they send American boys and girls over there to fight the Russians anyway. So they're not going to have that. The second thing that you need, when these troops go forward, when they're in the attack mode, they can easily be hit by the enemy because they're usually in the open attacking or attacking from a flank, but usually, especially in Ukraine, it's probably going to be open territory. So what is essential is that you have artillery support, okay? And what does the artillery support do? It keeps the heads of the enemy down while you're running onto the position. And to kind of give people a picture of how this goes is usually you have your fire force, which is right in front of the enemy, and they're firing and shooting at the enemy. But the enemy's you still can shoot back and stuff. And then you have a flanking or a maneuver force come in from the side, and the maneuver source is going to run over the enemy positions. So what you do is you fire the artillery at them, and you keep the gunfire going up. And then as your troops come on to the enemy's flank, you shift that fire away from the troops that are charging on. And that way you keep the enemy's head down for as long as you possibly can. Because if their head's down, they're not going to have any good accurate shooting or anything. So it saves your troops' lives.
Right.
Very helpful in that, too, would be air support. Because air support can kind of develop a target quicker than artillery can, okay? Because the forward air controller, he can spot the targets and take them out. These are targets that the frontline troops may not even see, but they can take them out. So both field artillery and air support are essential. Okay, Ukraine doesn't have either one. And there's nothing we can do to get them up to speed, because the speed they have to get up to is they have to match the professionalism and of the Russian army. Okay, and they are a professional army. They don't have trannies or homosexuals in their army. Okay, if they do, they're kicked out and sent to prison, like we used to do before. Okay. So, imagine how that is. I even look now, I think I had a 28-year military career. There's no way I could have that now. There's no way. I mean, when girls can get their Ranger tab and do half as much work as me to get it, what kind of pride am I going to have in a Ranger tab? Okay, I mean, just, you know what I'm saying? They've just totally destroyed our military, is what they've done.
That's right. And disarmed us. Munitions,
yep.
6 years behind in tank and artillery rounds, 6 years behind. We've sent it all over to the Ukes, and they've blown it all up. It's crazy. It's so obvious we're being disarmed and disabled. It's not even up for argument. You can't argue it. Same things happen in Europe in terms of their ammunition. They're all mm-hmm. What is it? The Brits can 22 hours. They figure the British Army could fight. That's how much ammunition they have left.
Well,
the Germans
aren't
far behind.
Listen, the Germans and the British do not have an effective military. Okay, not at all. You might as well say they don't have a military, because it's no good. It's not combat. It's not combat capable. Either the Germans did it because they wanted to get rid of all the Nazi German soldiers, so they got rid of all the soldiers, basically, you know. They said, oh, there's a bunch of Nazis, and this is Green Party woke people, you know. Oh, a bunch of Nazis in there, we got to do it. They first shut down their special forces, their best trained troops. They sent them packing and stuff. Britain, same thing. Britain, if you want to join the British Army, forget it if you're a white person, because white people are not welcome in the British Army. Okay, they want half of their troops to be women. Okay, I mean, the equity thing is insane. Okay, and it's going. Let me step back to this Wagner Group thing again. I thought it was kind of beautiful, because they did this thing where they convinced the Ukrainians they didn't have enough artillery to continue on, blah blah blah. That they might just leave the thing. So what they did is they got the Ukrainian army to reshuffle and hesitate what their moves were, because they now thought a new opportunity had presented itself in Bakhmut. So the Ukrainians sent a bunch of troops into western Bakhmut, okay, to reinforce and stuff. And then, did you see the artillery fire that the Russians laid on that part of Bakhmut?
It's like a wall-to-wall carpet.
Yes.
Oh, the incendiaries at night. Absolutely spectacular. Just
spectacular.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yep.
Crazy. Well, we'll see. These next couple of weeks will be interesting. What do you think at this point about the big Ukraine counteroffensive?
Well, I think, they have to do it. Zelensky promised the West he'd do it by the 15th of May.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how he's going to do it. He can throw a bunch of people to their death, but there won't be a big counteroffensive.
He's very good at that. He's excellent.
Yes, he is. Yep.
I figure that they're
all, no, he's going to replace
Christians.
Them with people from Asia and Africa and the Middle East. They're going to be replaced in Ukraine. It'll be a new multinational country. He said it himself. He's working on that. He's actually doing a good job of getting rid of the white people in Ukraine. He's killing them all, you know. So this is where we're at.
Friends. Yeah. Yep. I think that at some point the Russians will actually do something very substantial in respect to us crushing another red line. We keep laughing and mocking them and crossing line after line after line. I still think my idea is reasonable. You give Ukraine, tell them everybody out of Kiev, Odessa, Kharkov, in 36 hours, everybody out. And we're going to level the cities. We're going to end this thing. We're going to level the cities. You got 36 hours. They can broadcast it all over the media, and the people will leave. And they go in and they level the cities. If those three cities are gone, they're disemboweled. They're done. That will pretty well take them out, I would think. They've got to do something in one fell swoop, a big move that stops all this crap. Okay, it makes me sick to see it happening. Thank you, Mitch, very much. Superb information, as always. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Mitchell Henderson. Okay, thank you for being here tonight. Back with you tomorrow night in 21 hours. Take good care. And there's still some time to prepare, so please do that. Talk soon.